The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll talk about Dave's first-timer report from his October trip. That's coming up on this, episode 157 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 157. Today is another first-timer trip report, and I'm excited about this one because Dave was a great guest, and it's not too often that we have guys on the podcast for these reports, and I always enjoy when we do. So you'll hear that in just a second. He happened to be there some dates that overlapped me, and so it's interesting to hear his perspective and how it went for him. As always, I just want to remind you to follow along on social media. I have recently been posting to Instagram stories after I follow other people's Instagram stories, but I just never did it myself. So I've started doing that. If you'd like to follow on Instagram, that is WDW Prep School. And in fact, anywhere that you want to follow, it is WDW Prep School. So please be sure to follow along there. These trip reports are always a longer podcast, so I don't want to waste too much time. So without any further ado, here's Dave. Welcome to the podcast, Dave.
Hey, Shannon. Thanks for having me. This is exciting. I'm excited to do this.
I'm excited to have you. There aren't that many men that have been on the podcast, but when they are, they're always very popular episodes. So
that's great.
I'm glad to hear from you. There's like, I think it's like 90-10 with who plans trips. So it's good to capture that 10% of men who are the planners.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Okay. So I am talking to you not too long before your trip. You were nice enough to adjust your dates to talk to me around my trip dates, but what are your trip dates?
Yeah, so we're going to be there Saturday, October 21st through Saturday, October 28th.
Okay, and who is we? Who's in your travel group?
Yeah, so our family's going, which is myself, obviously, because, you know, it's stink to plan a trip and then not go. and then my wife, Sarah. Mm-hmm. And then we have three kids. Our oldest daughter, Marley, is 11. Our son, Gavin, is 9. And then our youngest daughter, Jovi, is 6. She'll turn 7 essentially right after we get back from Disney. So 7, 9, and 11 are our kids' ages.
Okay. Where are you guys staying?
We are going to stay at the Boardwalk Villas in a studio that we're actually renting some Disney Vacation Club points through a website that you had recommended, DVC Request.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, and my very first trip to Disney World was also at the Boardwalk Villas, renting points.
Oh, awesome.
So that's one way to do it. How did you guys decide to go on these dates?
Good question. So we looked at a lot of options. This is our first Disney World trip, which as soon as I said that, I realized that's kind of an obvious statement. Otherwise, why would we be talking?
Otherwise, it'd be a second timer report, which...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we have done Disneyland twice. So we did Disneyland in 2013 in September and got to see all the fall decorations. And then we did it in 2015, right after they put up all the Christmas decorations. So we got to experience both of those. And then when we started looking at our first trip for Disney World, we looked at like the first week of June and decided we didn't want to deal with the heat or the crowds. We looked at spring break. But that didn't feel like enough time to really plan for our trip. And so we came back to the fall and, you know, between Christmas and the Halloween decorations, we really love the fall season at Disney. Like Christmas was great. We still sing the Disneyland Christmas Fantasy Parade song around our house almost on a weekly basis. Uh-huh. But we really love the fall. And then on the specific dates, when we were trying to pick dates like a year ago, we didn't know our kids' school calendar yet. It hadn't been released yet. And so what we did was we essentially looked at the last 2 years of our school calendar and just took a gamble on trying to pick a good time. And we chose what we thought would be parent-teacher conference week because they would have 2 days where they wouldn't have school. Mm-hmm. And so essentially they're only missing 3 days of school instead of five. And so that's how we landed on the exact dates in October that we wanted to go.
So your gamble ended up working out?
It worked out really well. Yeah.
Good. Yep. So I want to talk about Disneyland for a little bit because a lot of people, it's an either or thing. You're either a Disneyland person or you're a Disney World, and never the two shall meet for most people. So where do you guys live? What state?
We live in Iowa. So we're right in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm from Kansas. And so, yeah. you know, same general area. And everybody I knew always went to Disney World. I really didn't know people that went to Disneyland. So
yeah.
The fact that you started going to Disneyland and now you're going to Disney World is, you know, a little bit fascinating to me because it took a lot of convincing for me to go to Disneyland. And now I keep going back because it's great.
Yeah.
It's great. Now, did you decide to do Disneyland first because it was smaller or because you had a history there or?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's two reasons. One is because it was smaller. And at the time, our youngest was two, almost three. We decided to plan the trip like a week before she turned three. So it was still free for her to go, which was mm-hmm. really smart. Mm-hmm. But so she was really young and it just felt more manageable for our very first Disney experience because it's only two parks. And then my wife also has some family in California too. And so we kind of wrapped in a family visit with that. And we loved it so much that we decided to come back 2 years later. And to be honest, I'm a little nervous. Like we love Disneyland so much that I'm nervous that we won't like Disney World as much, or I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how we respond to it because they're very different. And, mm-hmm. you know, we love the weather in Southern California and, you know, it's just different. So we'll see. I'm really curious to see how it's going to go.
I had the same feeling that my first trip to Disneyland was I was worried I wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
So, but there's room for both.
Yeah.
And actually, this isn't very good business for somebody who runs a WDW website, but if I were to do it all over again, I would have done what you did and gone to Disneyland with little ones first.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is because it's just when you don't have to worry about rain or heat most of the time mm-hmm. and it's easy to get in and out of the parks and mm-hmm. it's just overall very pleasant, but it is smaller. So you don't have yeah. as much to fill like a whole week, but yep. with little ones, sometimes that's ideal. So I would have done the same thing in retrospect, but
yeah.
now you're going to Disney World.
Yes.
And you're staying at Boardwalk Villas.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Okay. So when you decided to plan the days out, like which parks for which days, how did you decide to disperse it throughout the week?
Well, we tried to, again, kind of go off of our Disneyland experience. And so we had planned on originally 2 days in Magic Kingdom, thinking that's kind of like Disneyland, and then 1 day in the other parks, thinking that it would be like kind of like California Adventure and Disneyland. And so we had originally planned 2 days in Magic Kingdom and then 1 day in each of the other parks. And we're just going to have a rest day in between there. Mm-hmm. And then when we saw the difference in cost between 5 days of park tickets and six, it was so insignificant that we thought, let's just get a six just to see what happens. Even if we only go a half day, it's still not very much money. So we ended up getting 6 days worth of park tickets. So now we have three in Magic Kingdom and then one in the other parks. And in retrospect, I wish that we wouldn't have gotten that extra day because we decided to do Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party also. And so I wish that we would have kept it with just two Magic Kingdom days, or rather I should say only got 5 days of park tickets and then do Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween on top of that. But instead we have six. So it'll be a full trip, but I think we'll be able to fit it all in. And yeah.
In my experience, Disneyland vets love Epcot.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. That's yeah.
Yeah. Because, so you're comparing Magic Kingdom to Disneyland because there's a lot, they're very similar, but the things that they have in common in general are better at Disneyland. So yeah. There's a lot you could skip if you really wanted to at Magic Kingdom. There's obviously a lot there that, you know, is unique as well, but there's a lot you can skip. But then Epcot's got the World Showcase and all that, which is very unique and, you know, not in California. So,
yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to do.
Yeah, and actually our last day is our last day of our trip. We're planning on going to Magic Kingdom, but by that time we're planning on having gone on every ride we already wanted to go on in Magic Kingdom. And so we do have some flexibility. If on our last day we want to go back to a different park, we can definitely do that. So that's the plan, is to keep that last day pretty open so we can kind of go wherever we want.
Back in the olden days, before you booked fast passes 2 months in advance, our family did that. We kept the last day open and would just go to the park that we felt like we needed to revisit. And that was easier back then because you just got your fast passes in the parks. But it is a nice option because if you feel like you've done Magic Kingdom enough, then you can skip over to somewhere else if you want to.
Yeah.
So that's good. Okay. Now let's talk about dining. How did you, first of all, do you have the dining plan?
We do not have the dining plan, no.
Okay. So how did you approach dining reservations for your trip?
Yeah. So we, for the most part, we typically will plan on one kind of big meal during the day and then fill in everything else with either snacks that we bring from our hotel room or a couple quick service options. The exception to that is our day in Epcot. I'm planning on eating my weight in food at Food and Wine Festival. you should see the amount of time that we have spent pouring over the Food and Wine Festival menus. It's like probably equal to or more time than we have spent on our fast pass planning.
Wow.
So because our family really loves food and our kids are super excited about it. And so we've gone through the menu. Everyone's picked out dishes that they wanted. And then, you know, we're trying to figure out how do we spread all this out and get all this food in one day. So our Epcot day, which is our first park day, we'll be eating only at Food and Wine. other than that, we are going to, we have a breakfast reservation at Kona Cafe. We have a lunch reservation another day at Jungle Navigation. It's like the longest name in the history of restaurants.
The Skipper Canteen?
Yeah. Jungle Navigation Company, LTD, Skipper Canteen, I think is what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have a late lunch there. Our half day at Hollywood Studios, we're actually going to start with going down to Sanaa for lunch. We'll probably rent a minivan. That's what they're called, right? The new van service minivan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take that down to Sanaa and then go back up to Hollywood Studios. Our Animal Kingdom day, we have a Rivers of Light dining package at Tusker House.
Mm-hmm.
And then on our last day, if we do go to Magic Kingdom, our last day, we have a Be Our Guest dinner reservation.
That is a lot of great choices. Your kids obviously have adventurous palates based on the things you've chosen.
Yeah. Yeah. They, like I said, we all love food and They've been looking at the menus probably as much as they've been looking at the rides to try to figure out what they're going to eat. So we're all really excited for the food.
Good. That's not something that I hear very much, is that the kids are getting into the food planning. But when you really like different kinds of food, then that's a fun part of a trip. It's actually my son's favorite part of a trip. Okay. So now that's a good, we have a good feel for your dining. When it came time to booking fast passes, how did that go for you?
In the end, it went great. We got everything we wanted. It was a weird feeling, like because we had Disneyland experience. With Disneyland, you get your fast passes at a kiosk. I think they've just recently changed it, but during our trips, you just walk up to your kiosk, and it's kind of the luck of the draw of whatever you get, you get.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you feel like you can be adjusting your touring plans up until the day you go into the parks. But it felt like because we had to get our fast passes 60 days out, that really our touring plans had to be done 60 days out. Cause you wanted to make sure that your fast passes fit in with the rest of your plans. And for some reason it felt like that added some stress. I don't know why that is, but plus you don't know what you're going to see when you log in at, you know, like 4 a.m. You know, you don't know what you're going to see when you get in, if you're going to be able to get what you want.
Yes.
So we did two things though that I think helped. One is we took your advice and just putting our fast passes in order from hardest to get to least hardest. So at the top was Flight of Passage and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Did you get those?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing that we did was we practiced adding fast passes, because I didn't want the user experience of the website to be a surprise. Like, I didn't want to log in and be presented with an option to choose my date first when I was expecting to choose the park first or something, you know. So I wanted to practice what it was like to add mm-hmm. and remove them.
So along those lines, did you buy your ticket? You didn't book a package for your trip. You did a room only reservation?
Correct, because we rented DVC points.
Oh, that's right. You said that. Yeah, so I just want to point this out, that if you get a package, you can't practice because your tickets are tied to your whole package and they don't open up until 60 days. But if you get your tickets separate from your room, you can practice up to 30 days out. Like, I assume you use dates within the next month so that you could get a feel for the interface, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people are freaked out that when they log in, they can't see all the dates, but they magically unlock at the right time. But you can practice other dates beforehand just to get a feel for how the screen looks.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, yeah, you can just pick a dummy date, like pretend like you're going the next day and practice adding and removing them. And so that was really helpful. That I think that helped alleviate some of the stress. And, you know, we woke up, I think we came downstairs, my wife went to put on a pot of coffee, and like by the time she got back, they were all booked and it was done. So it was super easy to do. We've made some minor adjustments since then, but we pretty much got everything that we wanted to do.
Yeah, this seems to be the most stressful part for first timers, because it is so strange to have to plan out your days months in advance. And then when you hope that you get the right times when you log in, and a lot of times for people that have never been to a Disney park, they don't understand how long the rides are going to take. So it's hard to even plan that out. But I think the main thing to keep in mind is that there's only a few things that are really difficult. The two that you mentioned, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Flight of Passage, and Frozen Ever After. And if you can get those, if you want them, everything else is pretty easy. So those are the only three things to really focus on at that 60-day mark.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that the scale of the park, too, is for a first-timer is really hard to know. Like, how long is it actually going to take me to get from here to here? In addition to how long do the rides take? Like, it's really hard to look at a map and understand what the scale of everything is.
It is. So. I totally get that. And then after you go once, you'll be an expert. You'll totally understand it. and also, having some Disneyland experience does help, because you understand sort of the concept of touring, and you probably know what a lot of the rides are like already.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned you might take a minivan to go to Sanaa for lunch. So let's talk about transportation in general. So you're flying in, and how are you getting from the airport to the hotel?
We're doing Magical Express to get to the hotel. We are flying Spirit, and so fingers crossed that everything is fine with that.
Did you listen to my podcast about that?
I did. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it saved us like $900 to drive to Kansas City and then fly. It was $900 cheaper than flying out of Iowa through United. Mm-hmm. And so that was really hard to pass up. So we're flying Spirit, and then we're taking Magical Express. And then for the rest of the transportation, because we're at Boardwalk, we can walk into Epcot. Mm-hmm. We can take a boat to Hollywood Studios, and then, you know, buses for Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom. I did forget one other thing. We are on the day that we get there, we are going to Whispering Canyon. We have a dining reservation there. And so I think what we may do, if we have enough time, we may bus to Magic Kingdom and then ride on the monorail just to kind of see everything, and then get off the monorail and take the boat over to Whispering Canyon for that reservation.
Yes. I'm glad that you mentioned how you were getting to these resort dining reservations, because if you hadn't said it, I would have asked, because I'm always worried about that. The minivans make it easier, or Uber or things like that. Mm-hmm. They definitely make it easier, but you have to think about it ahead of time, because if you think you're going to use Disney buses, it's going to take a little while for a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, quick plug for a website I know called www.prepschool.com. That your little transportation tool is super helpful. And so I utilize that a lot just to figure out how I'm actually going to navigate everything.
Good.
Because at Disneyland, you just walk everywhere. Like,
Yeah. It's super simple there. Yeah, I'll link to that in the show notes in case anyone hasn't heard of it or been to it. But it's something that Heather and I spent weeks putting together, because we so badly wanted accurate transportation information out there. So that'll help you. You can put in starting and ending point, and it'll tell you how to get there.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that's your transportation, and you already said you're not using Dining Plan. Did you get Memory Maker?
We did. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Did get Memory Maker. It seems like most people get it.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm sorry. I keep talking about Disneyland, but from our Disneyland experience, I just realized like how many times I was either my wife or I were not in the pictures because we were taking pictures of our kids, or like I was so focused on, oh, I have to capture this moment. And I just didn't want to deal with that this time. And so it seemed like a good investment to get that.
Yeah. I think it is. You get so many pictures and then you can print whichever ones you want, and it's super convenient. So the last sort of planning step that we haven't talked about exactly is extra magic. You have mentioned things that are extra, like you're going to the Halloween party and lots of fun, like dining experiences. Are there things that you are planning that we have not talked about?
Not really. No, I think, you know, for us, it's still, our kids are still that age where like all we have to do is be present in Disney. Like, and that's pretty magical. And I think on top of that, the planning for us is a lot of fun as a family. And so looking at menus together, coming up with our costumes together for the Halloween party, going over touring plans, having like a countdown calendar, all that's kind of created this buildup in anticipation. And we just got to get there, and then it'll be, I'm sure it's going to be awesome. So we don't have anything else planned other than, you know, what we've really talked about is general touring, good places to eat, and Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween.
Yeah, that's plenty. I just want to make sure we covered everything before we wrapped it up. Your kids are at such great ages. Like, you know, they're big enough that they don't have to have naps or...
Yeah, you know, no more strollers.
Like, no strollers. Yeah. I still take naps, full disclosure, and I'm a lot older than 6, 9, and 11. But they don't have to necessarily, so you have a lot more freedom. So that's really nice. Okay, so I always ask this before a trip because I'm curious what your thoughts are. Now you've been to Disneyland before, now you're doing Disney World. Are you, as you look forward, do you think that you will be going back to Disney World, or is this a one-time thing for your family?
That's a good question. I think so. We've been in this like rhythm of every 2 years we'll go to a Disney park, and I think we'll probably in this season of our lives at our kids' ages still probably keep that. I don't know if in, when would it be, 2019, if we would go back to Disneyland or Disney World. I'm not sure yet. All of our kids are big Star Wars fans, and so we're kind of waiting to see how that goes. It really depends on how this trip goes to kind of determine which place we end up going to next. I do anticipate that we will go to Disney World again. I just don't know if it'll be our next one or not.
Yeah, and the Star Wars thing obviously is coming to both coasts, Disneyland and Hollywood Studios, but Disneyland will get it first.
Right.
So it kind of depends on your dates, which one, what even have the Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, so I'm excited to hear what you think. Because I felt the same way about Disneyland as you do about Disney World. almost the same. Obviously, the sizes are different, but I wondered if I would like it. And it worked out well for me, so I hope it does for you guys, too.
Great. Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, so look forward to talking to you when you get back, and thanks for joining me.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Welcome back from your trip, Dave.
Thank you, and welcome back to you, too.
Yes, we had a little overlap, so I'm curious to hear what you thought, because I definitely have some of my own opinions about how the trip went as well. I'm talking to you the day after you got back.
Yes, yep, that's correct.
On the 29th. Your trip dates were October 21st to the 28th, as you told us beforehand. How did you like going during that week?
I thought the week was good. You know, it's hard to compare crowds to other weeks. But it felt like a couple times it felt really crowded, and then other times, kind of depending upon the park we were in, it didn't feel too bad. And then the start of the trip was pretty hot, but then towards the end of the trip, it was perfect weather. It was 75. You could wear a sweatshirt in the morning, and then and then again in the evening, in the middle of the day, was just right. And so weather was great. Crowds were pretty good. And having all the fall stuff around was great as well.
Mm-hmm. The day that it got great is the day after I got home.
course.
Yeah. So I was watching the weather reports and thinking, wow, that would be really nice. Dane's probably enjoying it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it really can vary this time of year. I've been there when it was in the 90s and other times when it was kind of chilly, like you had, not chilly, but like you have to have a sweater in the evenings or something.
Yeah.
It really can vary. So it's good to check before you leave so you know what to pack. So I'm glad it worked out mostly crowd-wise and weather-wise for you. Now, you told us you were going to stay at a Boardwalk Villas studio by renting points. How did you like the Boardwalk Villas?
We loved them. Location was great, especially being able to walk into Epcot and take the boat to Hollywood Studios. I wish we would have had time to experience more of the Boardwalk. Like the performers that were out there at night were great, and we didn't really catch those until our last night. But just that whole area is just, it's a lot of fun. And the studio was good for us. We, you know, has that little kitchenette in it with a microwave and a little fridge. Mm-hmm. There's only a few paper plates and bowls. And I thought, man, that stinks. We're going to have to wash these. And so we did that for a couple days. And then finally, I just called the front desk, and they brought up more than enough that we would need. So having all that, the paper plates, the bowls, the utensils, that was all good. And especially because we did a lot of our breakfasts, pretty much all of our breakfasts were in our room. So that worked out well. We were close to the elevator. The pool was great. Our kids loved it. And everything was good at the Boardwalk.
I'm glad that you liked it. A couple of sort of, if I'm thinking about pros and cons of the Boardwalk Villas, I'm going to ask you about some of the cons that some people have. The studios can be kind of small, and you had three kids with you. How did you feel about the size of the studio?
Because we really only used it for sleeping, that it was totally fine. They have a couch that, you know, pulls out into a bed. Two of our kids slept in that, and then they have the little fold down bed as well under the TV. Mm-hmm. And so one kid slept there, and we pretty much just kept those out the whole time. It was a little tight, and I can see, like, if we wanted to spend some more time relaxing in the hotel, that would have been a little stressful to have that many people in such a small space. But for how little we were in the room, it was fine.
Yeah. And in the end, you kind of paid moderate prices for a deluxe resort by renting points. So that's one of the trade-offs of that. You get a great location and resort, but just a little bit less space. And then at the Boardwalk, how did you feel about access to quick service or resort amenities? Because you're kind of on one end when you're in the villas there. How did you feel about that?
So, we went to Ample Hills Creamery, the ice cream place, twice. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we didn't go to Flying Fish. We didn't go to, I think it's like Big River Grill, I think is there. Mm-hmm. We didn't go to any of those. And looking back, I wish we would have at least gone to one. But because we had spent so much time in the parks through our trip that we didn't really get to use much of the amenities. We did use the pool, and for us, our location was, we got on the elevator, we went straight down, and the pool was right there.
Yeah.
And so that was great. We didn't really use much else in the resort though.
Yeah. And you weren't on the dining plan for this trip, so you didn't have a refillable mug that you needed to go and refill.
Right.
And if you did, it's a little bit of a hike because it's kind of at the opposite ends of the Boardwalk over there. But you didn't have that, so not a concern for you.
Yeah.
Now, you told us beforehand that your family is Disneyland vets. And so Disney World was going to be slightly different experience. And so you had kind of decided to do 3 days at Magic Kingdom, one at the others. Is that the schedule that you maintained during your trip?
Yes, it is. Yep, that's what we did.
Okay, so I'm really curious to hear about it. Tell us, first, you did say you used Magical Express. So as you flew in and you were navigating the airport, which is a little strange the way it's set up, and then you went to Magical Express, how did the start of it go?
From the time we landed, it took about 2 hours to get to our hotel. And that's when I realized I have this... some would call it a control problem, Shannon, where I like to be in control of the situation. Mm-hmm. And when you aren't in control of your own, like, schedule and transportation, that can be a little stressful. Mm-hmm. And so it took me a while to get used to that because we just, you know, we had to wait for a bus and then we just sat there for a while. So it took about 2 hours to get there. But it was free and all of our luggage was taken care of. So that was great. And yeah.
Yeah, that I mean, that is a downside. I have mostly used Magical Express on my trips over the last 12 years. But when you have your own car or somebody picking you up, it's really nice to be able to just get there without any wait. But you're right, it's free. And it's very Disney. So you can, you know, watch the videos and kind of get into the spirit of it. You mentioned, so 2 hours is not too bad, frankly, between when you land and when you get to your resort on Magical Express. But I know the waiting is difficult because you really don't know when you're going to leave. You have to wait for the bus to fill up.
Yeah.
I assume that you had enough time to make it to your Whispering Canyon Cafe dinner that night.
Yep, we did. We got in, we got cleaned up a little bit, and then we knew we were going to be early, but we went ahead and got on a bus to go to Magic Kingdom, and then to get on a boat to go to our reservation at Whispering Canyon, because we wanted to explore the Fort Wilderness Lodge. Yeah, I always get this mixed up. Yes. We wanted to explore Wilderness Lodge, and it was cool to see. We went to Yellowstone this summer, and it was really neat to see how that Wilderness Lodge looked a lot like the Yellowstone Lodge. They modeled a lot of it after it, it feels like. And so it was cool to compare that. It did take a while to get a reservation. We checked in and then we had to kind of sit around for a while, but food was good. It was a really fun environment. Looking back on it, if we had to do it again, I would probably on a travel day, like we were so exhausted from traveling that it would have been maybe better to eat somewhere a little bit closer. Mm-hmm. Or at least that only had one transportation stop instead of two. On the way home, it took about 90 minutes to get back when we were done because we happened to leave right when Magic Kingdom was closing. So we had to wait for the water parade and we had to wait for a couple buses to get through because so many people were leaving. So that was tough. But I would go again if I was already in that area, but I may not go out of my way to go there again, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And what you did is exactly what I did my first trip. And we also stayed at Boardwalk Villa in a studio. And like you said at the beginning, you wish you had had more time on the boardwalk. That's exactly how we felt. And I think that that's one of the reasons that I try to emphasize that if you pick dining based on where you're going to be, you will avoid a lot of transportation time.
Yeah.
And it's hard because you read about all these fun dining experiences and they may not be convenient to where you are. But you know, you want to book them and go do that thing. You just have to be willing to do the transportation time getting to and from. So that's a little bit tricky. You're a Disneyland veteran. So the Grand California Hotel should have looked a lot like the Wilderness Lodge as well.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. That was also a lot of fun. We loved walking through that when we were at Disneyland. And so it was very, very familiar too. So yeah. we really like that design.
Yeah. It's the same architect, I think.
Nice.
So, that should look very familiar to you. Okay. So that was your arrival day, which was, and then you got back kind of late after your dinner. What was your first park day?
First park day was Epcot. So we walked to Epcot and arrived kind of at the back location at International Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
And we got there a little early. We were there right around 8 o'clock, it was our first day. We're excited. We didn't know how long it would take to walk there. Probably getting there at 8:30 would have been fine, but, we hung out. Everyone was excited. So no one was complaining about waiting and, we got in and walked straight to Frozen and got on with no wait at all. And then, which was great. And then from there, we walked over to Soarin' and we got there by 9:30 and we're on by 9:35. And so by like 9:45, we had Frozen and Soarin' done, which was awesome.
That's really great. So when you walked to Frozen, so did at the International Gateway, what time did they let you in? Just before nine or so?
Yeah, they let us in like kind of up to the bridge around, man, probably like 8:45. And then we had to wait there for about 10 minutes, right by the UK pavilion.
Yes.
And then maybe 5 minutes before park opening, they opened up that area to let us in. So we just kind of walked around the top side of World Showcase around to Norway, which is kind of a hike, but we were there. And,
yeah. Did you beat the people that were the main crowd? The main crowds?
Yeah, we turned around to look behind us and there was just this rush of people, which was terrifying.
Yes.
To see the sea of humanity behind you.
It is.
But yeah, we beat the crowds coming in from the front of the park.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, because I know people are going to wonder that. And then the fact that you were able to go right over to Soarin' and get right on is fantastic. With the three headliners there, Soarin' is the queue that's the easiest to do standby. The other ones seem to build a lot faster. Yep. So that was a good choice. And then after, we don't have to go through every ride, but yeah, but it's good to know that you got two headliners out in the first like 45 minutes or so. So, how did the rest of the day go? Did you do food and wine, that kind of stuff?
Yep. Yep. We had, I did share one story about, we had a fast pass for a test track and I was with our girls and they made like the girliest pink truck you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And, we got in, we got through the line. We're ready to get onto our, get into our car, had the pink truck loaded and ready to go. And we got held back by a cast member because Robert Irvine from Food Network was there and they had him slip in to our car. And I just thought it was hilarious. If you know who Robert, you know who Robert Irvine is?
I do not watch much of the Food Network, but I assume he was probably there for Food and Wine.
Yes, he was. And he is like one of the most muscular men. He's huge. And for, so for him to have this pink truck, I thought was awesome. Mm-hmm. So I got a picture of him getting into our car, which was really cool to see because we were food fans and it was neat to see him. But yeah, then we kind of went around Future World, hit a lot of the rides, used our fast passes. And then at that point, after we finished in Future World, we went into the World Showcase. Looking back on it, we should have taken a break before we hit World Showcase, but because we had planned all of our food for that day to be kind of, you know, food and wine booths mixed in throughout World Showcase, we were super hungry. Mm-hmm. And so we pushed through and went all around World Showcase and ate as we went. And by the time we were done with that, it was 6 o'clock and we were definitely ready for a break. So looking back, we should have taken a break before that, but we couldn't because we hadn't eaten yet.
Yeah. And you, this was when the weather was still pretty hot and the World Showcase is very hot in the middle of the day. So you were hungry and tired probably, and also very hot. So yeah, that's our tough combination. So you pushed through to 6 o'clock and then called it a night at that point?
At that point, we just walked back to our room. We swam for about an hour or so, and then came back, put on, you know, jeans and a sweatshirt then, cause it was starting to get a little bit cooler. And then we came back for Illuminations and we watched it from the Gateway Bridge between France and UK, which was a great spot to watch it. Especially because we were leaving back out through that same way. We could just walk straight back out. So basically we just came back for Illuminations.
Yeah. And it's like a, you know, 10, 12 minute walk to go to and from. So it's a lot easier than it would be for everyone else. So, okay, so that sounds like a lovely day, although maybe a little more than you would have done in retrospect.
Yeah.
Since you, after that, so now we're on October 23rd, what was your day, what was that day like?
Yep, that was Magic Kingdom, our first Magic Kingdom day. And again, we arrived for Rope Drop and got in line for Seven Dwarfs. And same deal, we were able to walk right on to that one. So we lined up like kind of that road between Fantasyland and Tomorrowland.
Yes.
Yep. And lined up there and walked straight on to Seven Dwarfs. And then we hung around Fantasyland until we had an 11 o'clock reservation at Kona. So we got on the monorail and went to Kona and we all loved it a lot. It was really, really good.
Yeah. Kona is at the Polynesian, if anyone doesn't know that already. And so you can just hop on the monorail or boat at Magic Kingdom and head over there. So that's nice. Yeah.
Yep. And also I didn't mention this the first time, but we, as a family, we try to avoid gluten as a family, and they were great for everything that we got the specialty pancakes and Mickey pancakes and other things. And they were all able to accommodate gluten-free, which was awesome.
All at Kona or at Disneyland in general?
At Disneyland in general, but especially at Kona, they were great about it. They were really nice about it and kind of went out of their way, and it was great.
Good. I'm glad. I think that in general, Disney tries to do a good job with that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's good to hear. And where did you go? And first of all, did you enjoy the Polynesian?
Yeah. Yeah. It was really fun to look around, and it looked like a cool resort, and I really liked the theming of it a lot. So yeah, that was neat.
Yeah. That's one of the best parts about eating at the resorts is that you get to kind of check them out. mm-hmm. Even if you're not staying there. So yeah. What did you do after you were at the Polynesian?
Yeah, we came back. We did more touring kind of through Fantasyland. We had a Peter Pan fast pass. We had a Haunted Mansion fast pass. And then we watched the Festival of Fantasy Parade. Mm-hmm. And we showed up about 1:50 to that. There's a little platform right in front of the riverboat landing that has like a colonial torture device mm-hmm. on it. Mm-hmm. And we got there 10 minutes before 2:00. And it was a great spot because we could stand on the platform and watch the parade from there.
Yes, and it's important to point out that Festival of Fantasy has been taking place at 2:00 recently, but it really is normally a 3:00 parade.
Mm. Oh,
so
nice.
It's yeah. It's very confusing if anyone's listening and thinking, hey, wait a minute, I thought it was at 3:00. It does vary a little bit sometimes. But so Festival of Fantasy.
Yep. And then we toured through Adventureland, hit all the rides in Adventureland. We had used up our fast passes, but we were able to just keep adding more as we had used our first 3 fast passes. So we got one for Jungle Cruise. We got one for Pirates and went to use it, but Pirates was closed. And so they said, you can go use it anywhere else. And so we went to Big Thunder and used our Pirates fast pass at Big Thunder. And after we got off that, we walked back to Pirates and it had just opened. So we were able to walk on. So that was pretty great to be able to do.
That was lucky. So yep. If I'm following correctly, you did Fantasyland, Adventureland. So you kind of did that side of the park on this day?
Yep, we did. Yep. And that was the plan, was to kind of hit those two areas and then do fireworks. But we had some extra time before fireworks. And so we went over to Tomorrowland and just knocked out a couple of the rides that we wanted to do over there. And bought a popcorn bucket, which was a great purchase for us. We used it a lot throughout the trip because it's like $10 to buy and then $1.50 for refills.
Mm-hmm.
And so we bought that and then watched fireworks. We lined up on Main Street between Casey's Corner and the Plaza restaurant.
Yes.
Which is a good spot for adults. It was good bicep workout for us as well because we had to hold our kids the whole time because mm-hmm. they couldn't really see from where we were. But fireworks are great and it was a good day.
So one thing that we haven't talked so far is about, since you're Disneyland vets, it's hard to not compare. Mm-hmm. So you've had Epcot, which is pretty unique compared to Disneyland. And then you have Magic Kingdom, which is very similar to Disneyland.
Yeah.
How are you guys feeling as Disneyland vets doing Disney World attractions?
Yeah. So, one thing we really missed in Epcot was, or I'm sorry, in Magic Kingdom was the dark rides in Fantasyland.
Mm-hmm.
We have like our, what we had done at Disneyland the last couple times that we went was we got in the park and we just hit all those dark rides right away and you can walk on most of them and you feel like you're accomplishing so much. Like you're going through all these rides with great stories and the kids love them. But they don't have as many at, Magic Kingdom. So that's one thing that we missed a little bit.
Yeah, and just to clarify, because the term dark rides is not normal to Disney World people, that's what Disneyland people call the rides like Peter Pan's Flight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And rides kind of like that. Like the whole family can go on it, and they're all sort of together at Disneyland.
Yeah.
And there's several of them, but there are not as many at Magic Kingdom. So
that's
definitely a difference.
Yeah, but other than that, the verdict was still out. We were still, you know, just trying to figure out what we liked more. But so far, the trip is going well.
Okay. So far, the trip was going well. I don't know what that means about the rest of the trip, but let's move on. So you had a full Magic Kingdom day that ended in fireworks, yep. which I believe yep. takes us through the 23rd. So October yep. 24th, what was that day?
That was another Magic Kingdom day. Mm-hmm. Arrived at Rope Drop again and hit Tomorrowland. We went on Astro Orbiter, and after we went on it, the cast member gave our family a free fast pass to use anywhere, which was awesome. I just for whatever reason he did that. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hit Space Mountain. We had a fast pass for that. Kind of went back to the circus area, hit the rides for that. We did Enchanted Tales with Belle, and then we had a lunch reservation at Jungle Navigation Canteen. And that was probably our favorite in-park meal that we had. It was really, really good. Everyone loved it.
Yeah, it's, Skipper Canteen's one of my favorites, too. But I believe your family is more adventurous with their food tastes, right? And yeah. So it makes sense for people that like a little bit of a different menu.
Yeah. Yep. And then we use that free fast pass to meet Mickey in Town Square. And we did that on our way out of the park because we were taking a break around 2 o'clock because at night we were doing Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. How long was your wait using a fast pass?
I would say 5 to 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too bad.
Good.
Yeah. I think you hit that the same day. I think we're both in Epcot the same day and Magic Kingdom. Or maybe you had left by then, actually.
Yeah, that was my departure day. So I wasn't in the park that day, but I did meet Mickey at Town Square, but I did it at park opening and it was a 1 hour process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I highly recommend a fast pass for that if you want to do it.
Yep.
So you left after meeting Mickey to take a break because the Halloween party was that night and you were going to, it lasts till midnight.
Yeah. So, we came back, rode the buses back. We're back by 2:30 and we napped and rested and then got changed to come back in. And then to come back, we used the minivan service.
Mm.
And it showed up within 2 minutes of me requesting one. And because our first time using it, so we had a $5 off coupon, which was great. And we were in the park at 7 o'clock. We could have gone earlier. Obviously I know we could go in at 4 o'clock for the party, but we needed a break. So we didn't get in there till 7. So minivan service was great. And then, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween was okay. We went in without a plan and it just kind of felt like we were wandering around. And what we should have done is ask the kids, what characters do you want to meet, and gotten in those lines first, because by the time we figured out who they wanted to meet, the lines were so long. Mm-hmm. So we waited forever to meet Jack Sparrow, and he had to keep leaving to go do parades and take breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just rotated people in and out of line. Like I waited in line while my wife took the kids on a ride and we switched around like that. But the entertainment was great. We did fireworks and Hocus Pocus and the parade. And the parade was great. It's just this onslaught of characters, character after character. And that was a lot of fun to see.
And it starts with the Headless Horseman.
Yeah, yeah. So I think everyone liked it. It just felt, for us, it felt a little chaotic because we didn't have a plan. Which made me really thankful then that we had a plan for our regular park touring.
Yes, you got to have a plan. In general, the best plan for a Halloween party is to, like you said, line up for characters, often before 7 o'clock, because some of the more popular ones, their lines build up. And then do make sure you schedule time for the parade and the fireworks, and then you can fit the rest of it in with, like, the stage shows, trick-or-treating, that kind of stuff. Maybe even trick-or-treating at the end of the night if you don't want to carry the candy around the whole time. Did you guys get plenty of candy?
We did. So again, because we avoided gluten, we did the tokens.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we got in, we went to the Town Square where you can meet Mickey and Tinkerbell, and we got a teal bag. And then, as our kids went around to the different treat stations, the cast members would just drop some tokens into their bag. And then at the end of the night, then we went to, you can either go back to that same Town Square location, or there's one in Liberty Square, and you turn in your tokens and then they give allergy-free treats. So it avoids all allergies, gluten, fish, like every type of allergy you can think of is covered in those. So they all got some allergy-friendly treats and it was great. It worked out really well and they were super gracious. They gave a ton of candy.
So what kind of candy do you get with the tokens?
Yeah, it was gummy worms, gummy bears, some Smarties, a couple different kinds of chocolates. There's a certain brand that makes allergy-friendly chocolates. I feel like there was one more thing, but it was like some gummy things, the Smarties, and then some chocolate. Yeah, it worked out really well.
Good. What time did you end up leaving the Halloween party?
We were there till midnight. So, okay. Or like 11:30. We left the park at 11:30, and then by the time we got a bus, it was midnight.
Mm-hmm. So would you do the Halloween party again?
I think we would do it again, but we would not do park touring on the same day. we would just take a break all morning and then come in at 4 o'clock with a plan of who we want to meet and what we want to do. If we did it that way, we would do it again. Yeah.
Yeah. You would just do it with a different plan. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So at this point you had 3 full park days and Magic Kingdom Day ended at midnight. I assume your family is very tired.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And plus, I mean, the shoes that we wore for our costumes were like, they were not great shoes. So we were sore. We were tired. And so the next day we slept in, we just rested in the hotel. And then we had a half day plan at Hollywood Studios. But we're going to start with a lunch down at Sanaa. And I tried to call a minivan again. And this time I couldn't get a response from anyone. And so I ended up just calling an Uber. And we took that down to Sanaa.
So Sanaa is at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So anytime you go between resorts, it's tricky, as you found out on your arrival day with Green Canyon Cafe.
Yep.
So minivan, I've heard this from people that minivans are kind of in short supply. So sometimes it's difficult to get one.
Yep.
And then you called an Uber. Did you call Uber or Uber Family? Just regular Uber?
Yeah. I mean, I used the Uber app and then I just selected the option that could carry 6 people. And so they had a minivan that showed up. Mm-hmm. For us, and that took us to Sanaa, and that worked out really well.
Good. And how did you like Sanaa?
We liked it a lot. It took a little bit of time to get all of our food. I think that was probably because they were trying to accommodate the gluten-free options. Mm-hmm. But it was everyone really liked it. I know it's a little bit more adventurous for people. Our kids got butter chicken, and they liked it a lot. Our son got shrimp. We thought the food was really, really good there. And plus to see the prairie and everything was really neat.
Yeah. So did you take some time to explore Animal Kingdom Lodge?
We did. Yeah. We explored, we got there a little early. We explored, we checked in and we explored more until our table was ready. But then because we wanted to do more exploring, but because because lunch took so long to get to us, we didn't have as much time to explore after as we wanted. So afterwards, then we got on the bus to Hollywood Studios and got there at about 2 o'clock to start touring Hollywood Studios.
And what was your plan since you did an afternoon arrival? How did you do that?
We had, a couple fast passes right away, one for Star Tours, one for Toy Story. And then we wanted to hit shows and I kind of had all the shows planned out to hit the ones we wanted to, but because we got in later than we expected, it kind of threw everything off and it made us a little rushed to get all the shows in. And so we still were able to catch everything, but we had to split up. And so my wife took our youngest daughter to Frozen. And then I took our kids on Rock and Roller, our two older kids on a Rock and Roller Coaster. And so we had to adjust plans a little bit because we were short on time. But we were able to do, I mean, there's not much to do there right now. So we were able to do everything we wanted and we got on all the rides we wanted to, and we lined up for the movie Disney Movie Magic and the Star Wars show at about 7:20, and we lined up right in front of, they have those two kind of projector towers, and we lined up right in front of the beige tower and got a great spot in the front row, and we could see everything totally fine from there.
What time was the Star Wars? It was at 8 o'clock.
It was 8 o'clock show, yeah. And so, then they had that movie magic 20 minutes before that.
Right. And so 40 minutes beforehand, you were able to get that spot, which is a great, great spot. I just want to give people an idea of timing on how far ahead to line up. What did you think of the Star Wars show?
We liked it a lot. I mean, we're big Star Wars fans. And so our youngest daughter was dressed as Rey that day. And that was... We liked it. It was a lot of fun. She got to see Rey. There's a Star Wars stage show during the day as well, and so she got to see her then. And everything was great. It was a great show. And I really like that they did the Disney Movie Magic before then, so that you don't feel like you're just waiting forever and ever for the Star Wars show. That helped to kill some time. So that was good.
And then because you like Star Wars, did you also spend some time in Star Wars Launch Bay?
We didn't. Again, we had planned on it, but because we were short on time, we ended up not walking through there. I didn't even bring it up to our kids. Mm-hmm. They'll probably be mad when they listen to the podcast and realize that we didn't do that.
But you know what? I think that's called good parenting because you this is sort of a sidebar, but I just want to bring it up because people always will say things like, our kids are going to be so devastated. We didn't get to do this. They're going to be so devastated. And my whole thing is they're not going to be devastated because you're the parent and you get to frame it in a way that's not devastating. You can not bring it up. You can say, oh, looks like we won't have time for that. Maybe next time. Like, you know, mm-hmm. there's ways to handle this that aren't devastating.
Yeah.
And not bringing it up when you've run out of time is a great option.
Yeah. Yep.
So after the Star Wars show, was that the end of the Hollywood Studios day for you?
Yep. Took a bus back and got back at a good time on that night.
Good. So was that your only Hollywood Studios day then?
It was, yeah.
Okay. And as you said, there isn't as much to do there, so totally understandable. So let's see. So far you've done a couple Magic Kingdom days, Epcot, and Hollywood Studios. You haven't done Animal Kingdom, and I know you have more Magic Kingdom to come. So what was your day after Hollywood Studios like then?
Yeah. So this is Thursday, and this is our Animal Kingdom day.
Mm-hmm.
And this ended up being, at least for my wife and I, and I think for two of our kids too, this ended up being our favorite park and our favorite day. And I think it just felt magical. It felt new because it wasn't anything Disneyland has at all. And the theming of everything, like, and we love animals, we love good food, and there's a lot of good food there. And so for us, it was just the best day. And the weather was great too on that day.
Yes. Well, good weather on Animal Kingdom Day makes it about 100 times more magical because otherwise you're just sweating and sometimes the magic feels like it's melting away. But I love that you loved it so much. So how did you begin? What was your strategy?
Yeah. So our plan was to go on Navi River Journey because we had a Flight of Passage fast pass for later in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Our plan was to arrive and go on Navi River Journey. And we got there for rope drop, and I kept waiting for the rope and there wasn't one. And by the time we got back to Navi River Journey, it was about 8:50 and people were already getting off the ride that had rode it once. And so they must have rope drop early.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to walk right on to Navi River Journey at 8:50 with no wait. Flight of Passage, on the other hand, already had a line like back to the safari. It was so long.
It's a crazy one. Super crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, which made me think, like, if I wouldn't have had a Flight of Passage fast pass, I wouldn't have gotten, and I wasn't able to get in the front of the line, I would have just gone to the rest of the park because the rest of the park was dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could walk on anything else. And it's always going to be like a 2-hour wait for Flight of Passage. So why not just save that for later?
Yeah, it's a tough one because it is so hard to get that fast pass. You clearly were online 60 days beforehand and knew what you were doing, but it is so difficult. But it is the best way to do it if you can.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So we hit Navi River Journey, and then we did the safaris, which everyone loved. We had a fast pass for Expedition Everest after that, but we didn't need it because it was a 5-minute wait, and so I modified that to 7:15 so that we could ride it again at night if we wanted to.
Okay, but I want to stop because this is very smart. I want people to hear what you're saying. You had a fast pass for it, but because there was no way, you went in the regular line, opened mm-hmm. the app, and modified it so that you could ride later when there may be a line.
Exactly.
Yeah, yep. And you could also change it to something else, another attraction if you wanted to or whatever. But it's smart to not waste a fast pass.
Yeah, yep. So we did that, and then we were hungry, so we stopped at Harambee Market and got some skewers, and everyone loved that food.
That food's really great, isn't it?
And
since it's outdoor seating, it's nice that you had good weather so that you weren't, you know, super hot while you're eating.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we were able to ride the River Rapids twice. And then we did some more touring, but then we had a Tusker House Rivers of Light dining package. Environment was cool. Meeting the characters was great. Getting the fast pass for Rivers of Light was good. We didn't love the food, though, which was kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else about it was good.
Interesting that you didn't love the food. I mean, it's mixed reviews, so no, you don't have to like the food. But it's good to know.
Yeah. And then we had Flight of Passage Fast Pass in the evening. And so we went and we read that and then just kind of hung out in Pandora and watched it transition from daytime to nighttime, which was really neat.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And then from there, then we had we had the Expedition Everest Fast Pass to use again. And so we went to go do that. And our youngest daughter loves roller coasters, but is terrified of Yetis, we found out. And so after the first time, she didn't want to do it again. And so we went to use her Fast Pass, and I got a rider switch.
Mm-hmm.
And so I rode it with our two oldest, and my wife went and got a seat for Rivers of Light, and she got, I think she arrived at about 7:25 for the 8 o'clock showing. And she got, I think, a fourth row seat, which was a great view. And so we rode Expedition Everest, my two oldest kids. Then we went and joined them, watched Rivers of Light, which we all loved. And then after that, my wife went on Expedition Everest again with our two oldest kids.
Yeah. How do you test at home if your child has a fear of Yetis?
Yeah.
Like, how would you know that? You wouldn't know that.
Yeah. And she didn't get to do Matterhorn bobsleds in Disneyland because she wasn't tall enough last time. And so we would have known then, because there's a Yeti in that ride too, but she didn't get to do it last time. So we didn't know that she had a fear of Yetis.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are both Yeti coasters. I think that younger kids often, it's not the Yeti that scares them on Expedition Everest, but it's the backwards movement because it's kind of intense.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Yeah. She's fine with that. It's just,
just the Yeti.
Just the Yeti.
Yeah. All right. So you did a smart thing and got a rider switch, and that way the older kids got to ride multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got to ride Expedition Everest three times that day.
So you were there all day. No break.
No break. Yeah. We did. I mean, it did feel like towards the end that we were kind of just killing time. Like we walked around Pandora a lot. We got a drink at, I think it's called Pongo Pongo in Pandora, and just kind of sat around waiting for Rivers of Light. But we were there all day with no break. And I think we could do that because the weather was so great that day.
Did you see one or both of the shows there? Festival of the Lion King or
Fighting Oh yeah, King? Yeah. Yeah. I forgot to say that. Yeah. We did both of those shows, and we loved those, especially Festival of the Lion King was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. It is. I wanted to make sure you didn't miss that one. Cause if you had all day, I assume that you're able to fit that in somewhere.
Yeah. We pretty much did everything in Animal Kingdom. Every ride, every show we did.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a good day there. Cause I think some people are tempted to skip Animal Kingdom. And I think if you have time, you shouldn't skip Animal Kingdom. It's beautiful.
It is. In our opinion, it was the most beautiful park and the best themed. And the Africa area and the Asia area were just like, you feel like you're there. You feel like you're in Africa. It was great.
I agree. And my son always gets a kick out of it. We say, you want to run to Asia? You want to run to Africa? He's like, only at Disney World can you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad you liked it. So you're getting close to the end of your trip.
Yep.
We have. What was the next day?
Last touring day was Magic Kingdom. And we got there at Rope Drop, which was 8 a.m. on this day instead of 9 a.m. And we hit, right away, we hit Peter Pan, Big Thunder, and Space Mountain. And one thing that I didn't realize, because the first time we rode Peter Pan, we had a fast pass, which was great. But the second time we didn't have one, we went through the regular queue, and the queue was awesome. And I that's something we weren't used to from Disneyland, is like having these interactive queues to walk through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some people will choose their fast passes based on things that have interactive queues. Cause if you have a fast pass, like you said, you miss the queue.
Yeah.
And actually in the show notes for this episode, I will put a link to a list of rides that have interactive queues, if anyone's curious about that.
Yeah. So that was good. And this was basically a free day for us. And so we just kind of hit any ride that we had missed in the first 2 days, or any rides that we wanted to ride again. We had fast passes in the afternoon for Seven Dwarfs. Our youngest daughter had one for to meet Elena and Cinderella. And then it turned out that our kids' favorite ride ended up being Big Thunder. And so we rode that as much as we could. We hit it in the morning. We did it again in the afternoon with a fast pass and a rider switch. And then we went to be our guest for a dinner reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And the atmosphere was awesome. Meeting the Beast was great. Food was pretty good. Good, not great, but it was worth it, worth being there in that environment. And then our family tradition, the last two Disneyland trips, has been to end our trip with Riding on Pirates. And so that's what we did after Be Our Guest, is we went on Pirates one last time. And we're out of the park around 5:30 or so that night.
Pirates at Magic Kingdom, not quite the same as Pirates at Disneyland.
No, it's not. I love at Disneyland riding through Blue Bayou. You know, when you start on the ride, you kind of ride through Blue Bayou.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to, what's the ride in Epcot?
Mexico Grand Fiesta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So very similar to that. It's not the same, but it was still good. We all like Pirates a lot. So then we came back, and this is a night that we then spent some time on the boardwalk and wish we would have spent more time there. We went to Ample Hills Creamery again for ice cream and watched a lot of the street performers. And then got packed up and ready for a 6 a.m. Magical Express bus the next morning.
Yeah. And did you use Resort Airline check-in for your bags?
We did not, because we flew Spirit. And so we weren't able to use that. Yeah.
Okay. So, but you did have an early flight. So your Magical Express was picking up at 6 a.m. and then your flight was probably around 9 a.m.
It was. Yep.
How did that go, your checkout day?
Everything involving Disney was great. The Spirit line was insane to check bags. It was super long. That was probably the longest wait that we had all trip, was waiting in line to get our bags checked in Spirit. And then the security check also was like, it was like a 45-minute wait to get through security. Which I thought it was hilarious that they have their wait times posted for security.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're used to doing that in Orlando. Also, you know what stinks is not using a Magic Band to buy food, it turns out.
It does. And if you try to use it at the airport, it does not work, unfortunately. Yeah,
you get so used to using it. And then we went to buy a coffee and it's like, dang, I have to reach for my wallet instead of just sticking my hand out.
I know. See, this is why Disney did it, though. It's so much easier to spend money when it's just a bracelet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Orlando Airport and Spirit both can be kind of nightmares. So, in retrospect, I know that it saved your family a lot of money on flights. Was it worth the savings considering the kind of ordeal?
Probably not, because we did have to drive to Kansas City, which is a 3-hour drive for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then pay for parking, where if we were flying out of Des Moines, Iowa, we could just have a family member drive us. And so we could have offset some of the costs with parking and things like that. And I think if we had to do it again, unless it was just outrageous out of Des Moines, we would probably just spend the extra money to fly out of home instead of going down to Kansas City to fly through Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good to know, because a lot of people, I used to criticize Spirit, and people said, but it's a great option for those of us that want to save money. So I flew Spirit and it went better than I expected. But also, I kind of feel like you do. Like, it probably wasn't worth it overall.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know until you try.
Yep.
So overall, let's see. You did get Memory Maker on your trip. Did you feel you got your money's worth with that?
I think so. We tried hard at the end to make sure we were getting pictures. In the beginning, we were so focused on, you know, touring, that we didn't stop as much as we should have. But to not have to worry about taking our own photos was great. And so I think we probably did get our money's worth on it. I would do it again.
And are there things you would do differently in retrospect, as far as how you approach the planning of your trip?
I mentioned if we did Halloween again, we would not go have a regular park touring day.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would probably do one less Magic Kingdom day. On our third day, it just felt like we were just, well, what should we do now?
Mm-hmm. And your hotel was right by Epcot. So
yeah,
maybe you could have swap the two out.
Yep. Yeah. and some of those things, I'm still trying to think about what else we would have done different. And after some time, I may come up with what we would have done differently. But I think overall, like we had a plan and we're able to kind of stick to most of it, and it went really well. So I don't know that there's much that we would change.
Yeah, it sounds like it did go pretty well. And as always, people who have plans, things are always bound to change. And that's just part of the process.
Yeah.
So that's good. So you told me before this trip that you kind of been doing every 2 years to a Disney mm-hmm. park, and that's been Disneyland. So this time it was Disney World. What are you thinking it's going to be 2 years from now?
That's really hard to say. It will probably be Disneyland, but that's not because we didn't like Disney World. Like I said before, we loved Animal Kingdom. And Epcot we liked. I know that they're going to do a lot of, they have a lot of changes planned for Epcot, and it would be great to see those. But I think because of the updates that they're doing over the next couple years, I think we would probably wait until those are completed, which I think in 2021, that's like, isn't that their 50th anniversary?
Yeah.
In 2021? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we'd probably wait until a lot of those big updates were done to hit it again. And the next time we go, we would go to Disneyland, assuming that Star Wars Land would be done there by the time we want to go.
Mm-hmm. It should be by summer of 2019.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And so it'll probably be Disneyland next time, but we definitely want to go to Disney World again.
That's good to know. It's a lot of people feel like they have to choose one or the other, but you can like things about both of them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think you mentioned you were a little nervous going into this one because you like Disneyland so much, so you weren't sure what to expect. So mm-hmm. it sounds like you came away with pleasantly surprised, maybe?
Yeah, we didn't come away thinking like, oh man, we love this so much more, or we don't like this at all. It was, we really like this. We like them both a lot, and there's good things and bad things, or not bad things, but you know what I mean? There's trade-offs at each, mm-hmm. at each place. Mm-hmm. And I think us choosing to go to Disneyland next time has nothing to do with us liking one park over the other. It just has to do with some of the updates they have planned and kind of the season we expect our family to be in at that time. We'll probably just want like a little bit lower key trip to Disneyland. So
yeah, my entire family of four, we haven't been to Disney World in 4.5 years together. We've been to Disneyland. So, and I run a Disney World website. So, that's just how it goes sometimes. They're both great.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm glad you had a great trip, and I appreciate you jumping on here the day after you get back, because I know things are a little hectic. And I enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, you too. And I just want to say thank you so much for all you do on your website and your podcasts. We used your information a ton as we were planning, and I really believe that a lot of the information you gave made the trip really successful for us. And as I think about like our kids, this will be a memory they have forever, is this trip, and your work is tied to that. And so thank you for all that you do, from your listeners and from your readers. It's really appreciated.
I appreciate you saying that, and your willingness to go on the podcast means that you're going to help people do the same thing for their trips.
Great. Awesome.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Yep. Thanks, Shannon. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. And I hope you enjoyed hearing about Dave's trip. I always like when people go into a trip not knowing if they're going to like it and coming away having really enjoyed it. And so I really like this report from Dave. I do have a quick tip before we wrap it up today. And this one was emailed in by Julie. Julie says, when trying to book extra fast passes later in the day, it's often hard to get the same time for a whole group, but you can search for less people and often find overlapping reservations, sometimes even for the same time. For instance, when we were on our way to Animal Kingdom in the afternoon and wanted to do Kilimanjaro Safari, there were no fast passes for four, but there are plenty for one person, all within 10 to 15 minutes of each other. And since there's an hour to get to the fast passes after it starts, we all have plenty of time to get there and ride as a group. So
in this case, Julia is talking about after you use your first three fast passes and then you want to try to book a fourth for later in the day, it's often hard to pick those up. But if you do it one at a time, this also works if you're booking your first three fast passes. If you didn't book it 60 days in advance, then you can try to pick up one here, one there, and try to overlap them so that everybody can ride together. So I think that is going to wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, you can read the notes in your podcast app or go to the website, click on podcast at the top, and look for episode 157. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.